Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Sean Day, Managing Director of Greatland Gold. Welcome back, Sean.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Kevin. Thanks very much for having me on again. I really appreciate it.
How's things progressing? I think since we last talked, there's been a few RNSs. There's been a Havieron update, and obviously today's news. We saw the Greatland were awarded a drilling grant for Paterson Province Exploration Project. Do you want to talk us through that news?
Yeah, again, it's good to be busy. So thanks for having us on. In terms of today's news, it's a positive piece of news. We have a grant around the Rudal tenement that is in the Paterson. So think of it as part of the Havieron opportunity. This is to the south of Havieron, and all it means is just, you know, we aim to get drill pads out at that site this calendar year or early next year at the latest. But right now, our present intention is to drill it in the back half of this year. And again, we have some high priority targets there. We wanted to get into it. And, you know, for this kind of regional exploration, if you can set out a coherent program and demonstrate the potential, you can potentially access some dollars, because the government does want to see regional development. So, yeah, it was there. And again, it helps us prioritise the Rudal tenement, which is great, I think, good for shareholders.
So do you have any sort of idea of the size of how big that tenement is itself? I mean, has there been any previous drilling or any mag done on that site?
Yeah, look, there's certainly been a number of, you know, survey work done there in the past. So, you know, and that's how we've effectively prioritised our targets on Rudal. So we have a good understanding of the gravity and mag formations. It, you know, in terms of size, it's similar to a scallywag. So it's a very meaningful footprint. As you do in these kind of remote areas, you tend to get pretty decent sized block. So, you know, so I think we have a good footprint there. We have a number of targets that the geology team have prioritized them. But I always, you know, I always tend to think, well, we've got some targets there with as good as grab or mag anomalies as Havieron. I always think it's very hard to genuinely rank your targets in exploration undercover. I think you can rank them, but at the end of the day, I think you've just got to systematically test all of those targets, all of those anomalies to find out. You can have targets that look better on paper than a Havieron that are not when you drill them. And of course, you know, Havieron took 45 years to discover post-Telfer because even though it was a anomaly, it never quite percolated to the surface. So I think there's no substitute for the discipline of a structured program, but clearly there's a couple of targets there that we wanted to prioritize, and hence we put in an application to drill this season.
Give us a bit more detail why the Australian government wants to give grants for this. I mean, you inferred a little bit there, but it seems strange that in these areas they want to give you a grant.
Yeah, look, I kind of double up as a taxpayer and a resource explorer. So I can look at this in two ways. But let's look at the cup half full size for in terms of support for the sector. You know, Australia has a very meaningful mining component to its economy. Exploration is the lifeblood of that, to continue target generation, to continue discoveries, to maintain the sustainability of the sector. So I think those are all very positive. In terms of where they want you to drill, it's really around genuinely new areas to drill. You're not typically going to get a grant to do a brownfield extension of the existing project. So again, it's about new project generation. I think the government feels if they can help sponsor those initial targets, once you tag something, then the market will fund, you know, the drill out and its development. So it's kind of, you know, putting a little bit of money up front, for encouragement and a little bit of risk sharing, and that can potentially, you know, deliver substantial benefits. And there are a number of programs. There is a limited scale tax deduction program for Australian tax residents on expiration. Again, that needs application. And then you go to somewhere like Canada, where expiration dollars are fully deductible through to the shareholder. There's effectively a pass-through. We don't have a system in Australia that sympathetic. So I think this is a little bit of a step towards support for the sector, but not as generous as in some places, but more generous than other. And my own view is I think the government gets the balance about right.
So it's not to do with the actual specific area that you will drill in. It's more to do with the exploration, because they want the sector to do well, as in mining sector.
It's both. I think I answered it there in a sector kind of response. But you put in an application, you describe why it's prospective, you describe why there's, you know, it's a genuine new opportunity, and these are competitive. You are not guaranteed. So we were really pleased with this outcome, and the team did a really good job at describing and documenting the opportunity there. And I think that's a great credit.
In terms of the geography of where this area is, how close is it to where you are now at Havre?
It's due south. I'm just trying to, I've got the benefit of having the map in front of me. So let me just have a look. It would be, I'm going to say, about 20 clicks, 20 kilometres south of Havre. So it's quite close.
So, yeah, in Australian outback terms, that's next door.
If we compare that to the nearest town, Marble Bar is about 400 kilometres away. This is, this is extraordinarily close. But look, it's on structure, so we like it. I think that sometimes being on structure is more important than proximity, and I think if you have both, like a scallywag, that's perfect. But this is a long structure. We like the area. There's some high priority targets there. It's nice to get a drill pad on the ground.
Yeah, you drive 10 times the distance for a cold beer, wouldn't you?
Literally.
Yeah.
So look, it's again, even by Australian standards, that Paterson area is pretty remote and large. So, you know, the distances can be a bit misleading, but, you know, it is, again, you know, it's in that tenement package. It's something that we like and enjoy, and we want to keep that tenement.
Yeah. I suppose the question, the reason why I was asking distances is really just, from a processing point of view, if there is gold, I mean, we're taking many steps forward, but if there actually is gold, then you're going to obviously be very close to processing as well, just like you are in Havre.
Yeah, look, it's again, I would have thought that's within a truckable distance to Telfer. It's slightly more to the southeast, whilst Havron's more due east. But you know, the radius of distance from Telfer is you know, not dissimilar in terms of this region. So I think if you have a good discovery there, it's near infrastructure. So you know, you give yourself an additional opportunity. And that's when we target new tenements, when we target new, we are mindful of trying to bring these things potentially online. And the closer you are to infrastructure, the higher probability that is, or said a different way, the lower the threshold of success, exploration success needed to turn it into an economically viable project.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a very basic question here. How did all of this gold get there in the first place? So, I mean, we're talking about Telfer, Havron, and then this other target. Because obviously there's gold in the ground here for sure. So how did it get there?
So look, fundamentally, these are, you know, in intrusives. And what you're really seeing, especially at Havron, is this dolerite structure, which is a subsequent, you know, post-mineralization event, but is showing a weakness, you know, in that, through that structure, all part of this kind of general brecciated area. You're getting the intrusives up. And because you've got that pressure, those cracks in the rock, that effectively is forming a trap. And what we're seeing is there's typically a very strong correlation at Havieron between the volume of breccia or brecciation and the amount of grade carried. So when you start getting out to the less brecciated areas, they might still carry mineralization, but there's just less room or less volume is trapped, so your grade is lower. I'll add to that somewhere along that southeast crescent, it is a different temperature movement which has carried a higher degree of grade and more gold and copper. So that's not just a function of breccia. That is a really rich and intrusive or metal laden event. But generally, that's what we're looking for, that combination of brecciated rocks associated with the magnetic and gravity targets.
Basically, in layman's terms, the molten rock has come up, which is carrying the gold into the bedrock, and then the bedrock and then solidified, and that's where the gold is then laid because it couldn't go any further. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a nice description.
So give us an overview, just to finish then, give us an overview of where we are at with Greatland Gold. Obviously, this is a good step out and a good progress. And obviously, if the Australian government want to help you do it, all good. But in terms of Greatland, the whole process, where are we at?
Look, I think in previous discussions, I've referred repeatedly to a transition process as I've come in what was a really successful exploration company, and we should celebrate the successes and the discovery of Havieron. And it's really important every time we talk about that to talk about Callum Baxter and those chaps who gave ourselves or gave Greatland and its shareholders this platform. We've now really tried to shift gear. There are some transition issues through that joint venture agreement, such as the 5% option agreement. And there is a little bit of Greatland wants to maximize that value. And you could argue that Newcrest wants to buy that at a better price or at a lower price. And to be honest, I'll be wrapped when we get past that, Kevin, and we have better structural alignment with Newcrest, because I don't think you ever do want a joint venture where there's a win-loss scenario. But fundamentally, we've come into that where Newcrest has wanted to try to transact around that PFS proposal. Greatland's gone out and done its own resource and own reserve. I think the quality of that work by the team is a credit to them. I think it's really justified the investment we've made in people over the last 12 months to give us that capacity, not just in geology, but in resource geology, in mining and in processing and corporate capacity. And I think that's made us better owners of Havieron. It's made us better able to articulate its value and better able to justify its value in a process. And we like to think through that we've shifted the paradigm of value, because the valuation date of that 5% is 15th of December, which is really just 2 months after that PFS. So in a very short amount of time, I like to think we've added a lot of value. Now, time will tell. There's an independent expert that we expect to be appointed shortly, but I think we'll deal with that. I think we'll show this compounding average growth rate for the asset, which I think is going to be quite spectacular, albeit off a low base that PFS set, and that Greatland set at the transaction that it sold 70% on. But I think what that will show you is how quickly we're adding value to Havieron. You can do that because it's world class, and it will show you what Havieron will be in the next 12 months. It will give you a very good indication of where we're going. And I think that's why I'm excited to get through this transition and be fully funded. I think that's a huge catalyst in terms of people having confidence. We can now maintain our share in the project and take it through to production. And during all this time, we have the advantage of leveraging existing infrastructure and already, because we've bought in the strength of Newcrest, already starting the decline. Every week, every month that goes by, we are a we are that much closer to the commencement of mining, to the commencement of cash flow. And normally, to think that this was discovered mid-2018 and we literally expect to be in production in about 18 months' time is extraordinary. So I think, you know, this is all testament to the quality of Havieron. And if Newcrest does exercise its 5%, and regrettably, I really think they will, because I'd love to hold more of it. But regrettably, let's assume Newcrest are going to exercise their 5%. It is just testament to the fact that Havieron belongs in the portfolio of a major. And what a major is looking for, lowest capex, multi-decade, large volume assets. And I think that's the opportunity at Havieron. And it's becoming more and more apparent as we move through the cycle. Yeah, it's good fun when you get to sell a Havieron. You don't find too many in your career. So it's a good fun asset to talk to.
Yeah, and I mean, whatever price this 5% is settled at is going to be, what's the right word? It's going to be business changing for Greatland. So, you know, you can quibble over the amount, but the reality is it's going to change the face of the company in terms of being able to fund things, being able to do all the things that need to be required to bring it into production. So, you know, it's not a bad thing no matter what happens. Yes, be nicer to keep 30%, but pretty sure that's not going to happen. And I think you are as well. So let's get on with it. And hopefully it's going to get sorted. And I don't know what the time scale is. Maybe you know better. What sort of time scale do you expect that this will all be sorted out?
Look, I think there's no definitive time frame in the joint venture agreement. Having said that, the relationship is good and strong and engaging between Newcrest and Greatland. I think when you have that kind of relationship, these kind of matters can be progressed quicker. That doesn't mean that Greatland's not fighting very hard in its corner to get a better outcome. And it doesn't mean Newcrest is not doing exactly the same to us. But we respect that. We understand that, you know, their obligation is to their shareholders, just as ours is to our own. But you know, I think I'd like to finish this transition period and get past the distractions of the 5%, get the bank funding in, be past that distraction, and have this platform where we just focus about the movement to free cash flow and the growth, the organic growth of the asset, and then the potential augmentation from exploration success on a Roodle, on a Scallywag, and the big option value in the portfolio to try to tag another Havieron. And we're in the right postcode to do that. And maybe the last thing I'll talk to is shareholders should have confidence. We continue to look at adding prospective tenements or exploration licenses in that postcode. I think we're seen as a technically strong team, which means significant companies in that area are willing to talk to us about working with us, which again, I think is a credit to us. And I think a lovely insight that within the sector, you know, our team has established its credentials as a capable and competent operator and technically strong. And then the other one is, you know, the third pillar to the growth strategy, deliver Havieron, continue to try to unlock the option value in the exploration portfolio, and also contemplate inorganic opportunities to grow, financially disciplined ways to add another leg to the stool. Yeah, and if we can diversify and grow, I think that's also really important. And you know, again, I like to think in the same way that we've established a good reputation as explorers, I think we've also bring with us and have further enhanced at Greatland reputations as people who are financially disciplined and good counterparties to transact. And we have a tremendous platform. I see it. I think our shareholders see it, but other companies see that too. Havieron is a bit special and we should celebrate that.
And the last thing really is, how on earth is gold not increasing rapidly in price in this inflationary environment is absolutely beyond me. It's bizarre. Partially maybe because of the strength of the US dollar, but even so, it's It seems a strange situation.
Yeah, look, it's as someone who did a bit of economics when they were younger, and I'm a bit rusty these days, but look, they're certainly, gold is traditionally a good hedge against inflation. So I think that's positive. But I think in the research I've read over the last couple of years, there is an ongoing and stronger correlation with the US dollar. So I think that can have certainly short-term impacts on where gold turns around. So, you know, I think when you look at gold price in an AUD sense, and remember, that's what will determine our margin. AUD gold price is still fantastic. The Aussie dollar gold price is tremendous. You know, we'll be having, you know, $1,500, you know, an ounce profit margins. That's outrageously good. So, you know, we do have one of the beauties of being an AUD or Australian gold producer is often currency is your friend. When the AUD appreciate, typically the gold price is offsets that, and similar and vice versa. So you tend to have a slightly more protective margin, given the Aussie currency is a bit of a commodity and risk on currency. So it is a lovely hedge. And the other element, look, we're 20% copper. It's a beautiful stable, mate. The best gold mines have copper. And I love the diversification. I love the copper story and, you know, the outlet to EVs. And we continue to consider base metal opportunities within Havieron. You know, in due course, we'd like to talk about perhaps other base metal opportunities within Havieron. So it is, you know, I'm really attracted to diversification. I think Havieron brings that. And in future metals, which is a neat place to be. To have a combination of gold and copper and maybe some other metals, you couldn't script a better platform.
Thanks very much for that insight, Sean. That was wonderful. Sean Day, Managing Director of Greatland Gold. Thanks very much for your time.
Phil, really appreciate it. Kevin, enjoyed the discussion as well, and available anytime. It's great to chat.
Thanks, Sean. Enjoy.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.